title of the sermon today is The Truth. Hold on to it. In Psalms 12:6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. In Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. Webster's definition of pure, it says it is faultless, it is blameless, it is absolute. And I say, yes, amen. The Word of God doesn't only contain absolutes. The Word of God in its entirety is an absolute for each and every one of us today. Jesus says in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Jesus is the living Word of God. Jesus is an absolute in my life. His words are an absolute in my life. This church believes it. This church stands on the Word of God, and the definition of faith is acting on what you believe to be true. As Christians, we act on what we believe to be true. We act on the Word of God. Is the Word of God an absolute in your life? If not, it needs to be. Are you acting upon the Word of God as is written and as it is shared with us? If you're not, you need to be. We pray believing. We lay hands on the sick believing, acting upon the Word of God. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, it reads, Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. In verse 15 again, and how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel is the gospel of peace. It is the good news to a lost and dying world. And most certainly, we are living in a lost and dying world, and we are surrounded by people that are lost for eternity if they do not accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It offers peace with God, eternal life. Verse 16, we read it again, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? But they have not all believed. The largest part of the Jewish community has not believed. The largest part of the Gentile community has not believed. But verse 17, most in the world do not believe. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But those that believe first heard it. Those that believe first heard it. Faith comes by hearing. The beginning, the progress, and the strength of faith is what? Hearing. The Word of God is therefore the word of faith. God gives faith or builds your faith, but the Word of God is the instrument. We as Christians today, even though you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, still, He is in that faith-building process in your life. That every time that you hear the Word of God, as it brings sanctification to your life, and sanctification is that cleansing and that separating, that maturing ministry that He's doing in your life. That's why it is so important that you and I are involved in the Word of God on a daily basis, because in that time, each day and each time that we are reading the Word of God, He is building our faith to strengthen us, to equip us. God gives faith or builds your faith by the Word of God. It is the instrument that He uses, hearing by the Word of God. In verse 18, we read that again. He says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. But those that hear it and do not respond to it are without an excuse. Those that hear it and do not respond to it are without an excuse. But there's something worse than hearing the Word of God and not believing. Those that hear and believe but then turn away from the truth and begin to teach falsehoods to other people. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter in chapter 2, we read some words that are very, very stern from the Scripture. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And verse 21 says of 2 Peter 2, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed into her wallowing in the mire." The picture that is given here is of false teachers. That one time that they knew the truth but walked away from it and now are teaching falsehoods to other people. In verse 18 through 20, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, through the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by whom also he has brought into bondage." 2 weeks ago, I shared with you a statistic that I'm still shocked by and can't get my head wrapped around it. That 57% of all Christians, 57% of the Christian community believe that you can go to heaven through other religions that we would call false religions. 57% of the Christian community believes that you can either be saved through Muhammad or Buddha or whatever religion that is out there, but the Scripture tells us in black and white there is only one by whom that we may be saved, and His name is Jesus. There is salvation found in no other, it says in the book of Acts. Religions that you and I believe that are false religions, that they believe that you truly can be saved through those religions. And what does that tell me? That there are many churches out there today that are not teaching the truth. Can we also say that there are whole denominations out there that once believed the truth but walked away from it and are now teaching falsely to other people? And we can say amen to that as well. We know some old-time denominations that at one time was very true and had a lot of integrity to the Word of God, but now have started to walk away from the Word of God. Are they not a dog that has turned around and begun to go back to their own vomit because they're going back into unbelief? And the bad thing is they're taking their people with them because the people do not know. It is important that you know the Word of God. It's important that you not believe what Pastor Leo says, but you look at the Scripture and you see it for yourself that God is telling you this is what it says. We have so many out there in the world today that are being led astray, thinking that there is a salvation in any other than Jesus, and they are so, so wrong. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation in chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, I want you to go to verse 7. The title before verse 7 in my Bible highlighted is "The Faithful Church." But it's the Church of Philadelphia. So if you go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and it says, "And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. He who opens, no one shuts, and shuts, and no one opens. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command. to persevere. I also have kept you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Oh, praise God. The faithful church. Many scholars agree that this is a picture of a church that is faithful, and this church will be raptured before the great tribulation. And that's the picture that we get of this church. Are we that kind of church today? Look at verse 10. Verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, and the hour of trial being what? The great tribulation period. I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Referring to the hour of trial as a great tribulation. Now look at the next church, the lukewarm church. Chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 14. And to the church, angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This church represents a church in the final days before the rapture. And this church has fallen away from the truth and has gone into what? Apostasy. To fall away from the truth. And how many churches do we know today? This church needs to make sure that we are always preaching the Word of God, that we are standing on the Word of God, that we are proclaiming the Word of God, that only through Jesus can you be saved. There is no other way that you can be saved. Because there's too many churches out there that are not doing that today. And I believe that God is going to bless it. I believe that God is going to enlarge it. Because I still believe in all of the silliness that is going on out there in the world today that we talked about last Sunday. That we talked about all the craziness and how we've gone off. That this world is no longer evolving, but this world is dissolving before our very eyes. I still believe that there are people out there that want to know the truth, that want to know the truth, and they want to be set free, and they want to believe the truth. And we are putting out the announcement today that everyone that needs to know Jesus, come to this place. You can find the Lord Jesus, because we stand on His Word, and we're going to stand on His Word until the Lord catches us away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, when you go to chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, now, brethren, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Because the day of Christ has not come. Brother and sister, the day of Christ has not come. I believe that he could come at any time on the prophetic calendar. There's not anything else that needs to be fulfilled. But what does the Lord Jesus himself say? No one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels of heaven. Only my Father knows that hour when we're going to go home. We have said that before. We don't have to put another board on that church. Come, Lord Jesus, we're ready to go home. We're ready to be home with our Lord and our Savior forevermore. But if the Lord would tarry, we need to be about our Father's work. And the Lord says to occupy until I come. We're going to occupy, and we want to enlarge the kingdom of God before he comes. He says, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, though he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 3, that day is referring to the tribulation period. The falling away from what? The falling away from truth. The American Standard Bible says the word apostasy here. Yes, this will happen during the tribulation period. And he is telling them until that great falling away takes place, until the son of perdition has revealed himself, it is not the time that we would be captured away as of yet. And we see it starting before our very eyes. Even though that we're not there yet, we see it happening before our very eyes. Today there is a great falling away from the faith in Jesus Christ. I hear of Reformed churches in Pella that is pulling out of the Reformed church. They're going to become their own independent church because they cannot swallow what the denomination is shoving down their throat any longer. We have Methodist churches that are separating from the Methodist denomination because they cannot swallow what the Methodist Association is ramming down their throat today. If you're going to stand for the Word of God today, you're going to stand for the Word of God until the Lord Jesus comes. And many times we're going to stand by ourselves, but we're going to keep on standing. It says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, when you've did all you to stand, can, to do, to stand, then stand. And we're going to stand on the Word of God. We see it starting before our very eyes that it's hard to believe it, that it will get worse. Do you believe how much worse it can get? It says in the tribulation it will be a lot worse. Verse 6, and you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. The restraint of the Holy Spirit is holding the evil back. The restraining power through the saints of God is holding the evil back. It's not allowing it to get worse before the tribulation period comes. Now let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us as though the day of Christ had come. Then move down to verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Church, we're not going to give up. We are going to preach the word, to teach the word, to promote it, and we're going to stand on the word of God, because I believe in this fallen world that we live in today, there are still those that still want to know the truth. And we need to find everyone we can. You know, a few weeks ago we said that you cannot get saved unless you have a revelation from God. And we even proved that through the scripture. that he reveals himself to us, our need for salvation, our need for forgiveness. That is a revelation that God has given you. The Lord Jesus says you cannot come to the Father unless you're drawn to him. That's a revelation. Anyone that has been saved, that is in this room today, you have had a revelation of God, or you would have never come to God. He revealed himself in a way that you knew that you needed to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. We pray that that revelation button will be touched in everybody's heart. I think of it in this way. Mid-America Power, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and all we want to do is flip the switch. That's all we want to do. That's what we need to do as children of God. In people's lives that we come in contact with, we just need to reach in there and flip that switch. Let the power of God speak to them. When we water the word, when we sow the word, God is the one that brings the increase. But we are the ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Everyone that you come in contact with, to be able to flip that switch so that they can make that decision to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Church, don't give up. We keep preaching, and we keep teaching the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this Word that is shared with us today. And Father, if there's those that have not made that decision, we pray that, Father, you have revealed yourself to them through this sermon today. That, Father, as we spoke the words of God, we spoke, read your written word, that, Father, you began to reveal yourself to them, that they need to make that decision, that they need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they need forgiveness. We pray that, Father, you will open our eyes and our heart to your understanding today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we just pray that you would rejoice in you today, that you would bless this congregation and you would bless those that came out today. And Father, they will leave this door changed by your power and by your might. Be with us this week and the days to come. Bless our week. May your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. And we ask it all today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.